Advent is a time of anticipation, and there's a couple types of anticipation. There's the type of anticipation where we dread something, where we just can't wait for that thing to be over. You might want to, an image that came to my mind is, let's say you're in school and you get called to the principal's office for something. You know that you got in trouble for something, and you're sort of waiting there in dread, knowing, wondering what your punishment's going to be. You're wanting to get it over with. That's not the, that kind of anticipation is filled with fear and discouragement. And that's not the kind of anticipation that we are looking for during this Advent. The kind of anticipation that we want as Christians is a kind of joy and hope-filled anticipation. An expectation that something good is about to happen. Because, in fact, something good is about to happen, the coming of our Lord. But yet, it's tempting to fall into the first kind of anticipation, that anticipation that involves discouragement. Because there's a lot of things that can discourage us. Our sins, our failings, our weaknesses, the broken relationships that we have, the depressing news that we hear about in the world, the struggles and hardships that just come with daily life. All of those things have the power to discourage us. And the lie that we need to expose that can often come from this is that we're not good enough, that what we do will never be good enough. And the lie, too, that we're not lovable or redeemable, which is often the root cause of it. It's a lie that says that we will never be able to overcome our weaknesses, never be able to overcome our failings, never able to overcome our sins. And the truth is, we can't. Or at least we can't by ourselves. Because we need the grace of God that is gifted to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to overcome those things by his power. However, if you find yourself hindered by discouragement, maybe by some of the things that I just described, I want you to listen again to some of the encouraging words that we get this Sunday from the prophet Zephaniah. And Zephaniah usually offers doom and gloom predictions. He's talking about how the kingdom of Israel is about to fall in the 7th century BC. And he tells the Jewish people, though, at least in the end, that there is hope, even though this is about to happen. So I want you to listen again to some of the prophetic words that Zephaniah says and see where the Lord might be speaking to your heart. He encourages them, "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." He's encouraging them, even in the midst of all these things, to be joyful. Why? Well, he goes on to say that the Lord has removed the judgment against you, that he has turned away your enemies. He's saying that the Lord has not come to condemn us as the enemy would want to condemn us, but that the enemy has been defeated because God has won the battle against the physical and spiritual enemies. Zephaniah then further proclaims that the King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and wants them to fear not, O Zion. Be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. Be not discouraged. So if you experience a type of dreadful, fearful, discouraging anticipation, then look to this passage and be reminded of the hope that God has for you. And if you need another reminder of God's amazing love for us, then listen again to what we hear in our responsorial psalm, that God is indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. Those are powerful words, confident, unafraid, courage, strength. All of those words come from the knowledge that God is with us. And that our real courage, our real strength comes from asking God to help us out of humility to defeat those things that can spiritually afflict us. And having the confidence that he will do it, that he's near us in those times of trouble, that he's not going to abandon us. If you find yourself facing spiritual discouragement, fear, anxiety, things that can crop up in our lives, then I would also encourage you to keep these passages somewhere where you can see them, where you can be reminded about the fact that God is with you. Today, as I said at the beginning, the church celebrates Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete means rejoice. That's one of the reasons we light the rose candle. And the reason that we do that is not just because it's a nice decoration for the church, but it's a physical reminder that the Lord is with us. We need physical reminders in our lives to know this, to be reminded of it. And so having scripture and having these physical things can be powerful images for us. But I would also have you heed the advice of St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. When I was in seminary, the priest who was my spiritual director, Monsignor Ken Leone, probably one of the most joyful priests that I've ever met, he would often have me reference this passage. He loved this passage because it says that St. Paul tells us to have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. What St. Paul is doing here is he's giving us an important key to prayer. He's telling us that when we find ourselves anxious about something, maybe something that's on our heart, then we should pray to God, offer a petition to him first, and then give thanks immediately after we make that petition as part of our prayer. Offer the petition, give thanks. What this does is it puts it completely in the Lord's hands and acknowledges that the Lord is also going to do something, that his will is going to be done in all things. Now, we don't necessarily know what that's going to be, and it may be different from what we want, but at least it acknowledges that the Lord has the power to do it, and he will do it. And if we do this, we offer this prayer petition, we give thanks for that petition, then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, as St. Paul reminds us. So pray, give thanks, and then have peace in Christ. Finally, St. John the Baptist offers another way for us to be able to find that peace, which might sound a little unorthodox to us at first, but that advice is to be uncomfortable. It's to be uncomfortable and to give to the poor. He's telling those that are coming to him to be baptized that if they have two cloaks, for example, to give one to the poor. If they have more food than they need, they should give that and share it with others. If you're a tax collector, for example, then don't collect more taxes than what's prescribed. If you're a soldier, stop doing things like extortion and falsely accusing people just to increase your wages. Now, he's telling them these things, well, first of all, because they're sinful and he wants them to repent of their sin to follow the Lord. But the other reason is because he's trying to remind them not to be too comfortable, mainly because the kingdom of God is not of this world. That we are not aiming to live a comfortable life here on earth. That we give to the lowliest among us and we see Christ in them with the knowledge that our reward is not earthly, but heavenly. That our success is not about how much we earn, it's not about how much we accomplish, because if that's our metric, then we're always going to fall short. We're never going to have enough. But what will give us enough is seeking the Lord and seeking his kingdom. So when we give to the poor, it's telling us that worldly things do not matter to us, that it's Christ and caring for Christ in his people and seeing Christ in his people matters the most. So by offering those things, it shows us where our hearts should be, towards heavenly things and not the things of this world. May the Lord give you peace and a hopeful anticipation this Gaudete Sunday.